The theme of this paragraph is, when you see opposition between one and the other, if there's a contradiction between the two, it is not to be inferred that one is valid, another is invalid. This is the basic point. If there are two contradictory things, it does not follow that one is valid, another is invalid, which is normally thought of in the world. Sri Aurobindo gives a new argument that if there is an opposition between the actual and the unrealized, then even unrealized may be valid, even though contradictory of the actual. Now Sri Aurobindo gives the example of the opposition between matter and life. Supposing one of you were present in the world or on the earth at a time when the evolution had just started. Today we are here after millions of years of evolution. But supposing we were on the earth, at least one of us were present, a witness, as Sri Aurobindo says, supposing there was a witness but uninstructed. Supposing one of us were present but uninstructed, that is to say, one who did not know what is all about. He was not told. He had just, out of curiosity, he was on the earth and looking around where only matter existed, nothing else. Now you examine the character of matter. Matter is inert. Matter is mechanical. Matter is unconscious. Even if you argue that matter, when we say it is inert, it is still dynamic. This knowledge came to us in 20th century, that matter, even though inert, it is dynamic, it is revolving. Every atom is a revolution around a nucleus. Even if you argued that matter is not inert, it is dynamic, there is still one great limitation of matter. The dynamism of matter does not grow. It moves on its own orbit, on and on and on and on. What is the difference between matter and a tree? Both are dynamic. The tree is dynamic. Atom is also dynamic. But atom does not grow like a tree. There is something like organism which has a different quality in it. Now, if somebody were to argue with you, look, on this matter, there will grow a beautiful tree. A beautiful flower will come out of it. Fruits will grow. you would have argued, like the modern materialist, actual fact is matter. This growth, this development, flowering, fruition, all this is unrealized utopia. It will never happen. Because matter and life are opposed to each other. Matter is real. What you talk of life, growth, is a dream. And that too, vain dream, it can never happen, completely impossible. But if we had Sri Aurobindo's argument with us, we could argue that this opposition between matter and life is a proof that nature is striving to effect a great harmony between that matter and this life. Now listen what Sri Aurobindo says. The accordance of active life with a material of form in which the condition of activity itself seems to be inertia is one problem of opposites that nature has solved and seeks always to solve better with greater complexities. Let us analyze every word of this sentence. Basically, it answers our question whether matter can give rise to life. We seem to be opposite of each other. But see what Sri Aurobindo's description of life is, and see the description of matter. Sri Aurobindo says that the accordance of life in matter, that is to say, the tree grows in matter, doesn't grow outside matter. That is also a very important thing. Accordance of life in matter, that is to say, the very nature of matter is changed with the entrance of life in it. The two are joined together. There is no life on the earth which cannot exist, which can exist without matter. On the earth at least, all that is organic has to have its grounding in matter, which seems to be completely opposite of life. And yet, the whole earth is such that if anybody has to live, it has to be in matter. So this accordance of life in matter is one of the stories of opposites which nature has accomplished already. Now the description of matter is also very important. What is matter? Even if you grant that matter is inert, that matter is not inert, even if you argue matter is not inert, it is full of dynamism. Sri Aurobindo says that even where the activity itself seems to be inertia. You know, the law of inertia, the scientific law of inertia is not that something is not moving. Even if something moves, but cannot stop by itself, it is called inertia. If you move, and if you, once you are pushed, and you go on moving on and on and on, and if you can't stop yourself, it is called inertia in physics. The definition of inertia is that you have no capacity to change the state of motion. When you are not able to change either the state of staticity or the state of motion, then it is called inertia. And that is the nature of matter. At one time it was thought that matter can move, but only if it is moved from outside. That was the law given by Newton. Newton had said that matter, he had not known that matter has already a motion within itself. That was known only now, in 20th century, when Newton, the great physicist, he gave the laws, and the first law was called the law of inertia. And he said that matter cannot move by itself. That is the meaning of inertia. He believed in God, so he said, God moved the first matter. And once it is in motion, it is on and on and on. And the fact that matter cannot stop by itself, that you require external force to stop it or to change its direction, that was called the law of inertia. So matter had two kinds of inertia. First of all, it cannot move by itself. You require an outside agency to move it. And secondly, once it is in motion, matter by itself cannot stop it. You require an outside force. That is called also the law of inertia. Either you do not move by yourself, or once in motion, you cannot stop your motion by yourself. This incapacity is called inertia.